The first reading this morning comes from Psalm 46, and you may find that on page 559 of the Church Bibles, 559, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
The second reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 6, and can be found on page 1147. Sowing generously. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of this service, by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Lee. I'm one of the ministers at our church at All Saints. It's great to be here this morning. If you would keep your Bibles open to 2 Corinthians 9, that's what I'm going to be speaking on. Psalm 46 was just a psalm that I like. It's just a good psalm, so read it again. It's really good. I'm going to pray before we get into it. Father, thank you that we can meet here this morning, that we have nice warm air conditioning. I pray that your word would warm our hearts as we hear from you, that we know that you're speaking. That the Bible we read is not just any old book. It's your words to us, and it is a privilege, it's a joy to hear from you. So, through your Spirit, help us to really listen to what you're saying. Amen. So I went to Tanzania with the team, and some of you may have heard this story already, but even if you've heard it, it's probably worth telling again. But on the Sunday morning, that before we were just about to leave Alula, I was going to be preaching at the church service. And I did a pretty silly thing before arriving at the church. So I'll give you some context. The day before, I'd been feeling quite unwell. I had a headache. I was just feeling drowsy, sick in my stomach. And I knew that we had this 1 hour bus ride to get from our accommodation to the church. And I sometimes get a bit travel sick. So I was like, oh, this is just gonna make it worse. So I'll take some Travacom tablets. And I didn't have the packet with me, so I didn't know what the side effects might be. But I was sitting there on the bus for about 15 minutes and then started to feel pretty sleepy. And I turned to the rest of the team on the bus and I asked them, does Travacom make you drowsy? And then supposedly about 30 seconds or so later, I was just out cold. And the next thing I remember is someone shoving a Pepsi bottle in my face and telling me to drink, and I'm holding this Pepsi bottle and I'm sort of waddling off the bus, and there's these Tanzanian people who are greeting me. I'm shaking people's hands. I'm diving into my bag to take some lollies. And then I did drink some Pepsi, and then the minister comes up to me and he says, you come with us to the front of the church. And so in their church, the minister doesn't just sit here. They sit on seats up the front. And so I was sitting there with two other ministers trying to keep my eyes open, drink water, drink Pepsi, whenever I could. And I could see that all the All Saints people had this nervous smile as they were looking at me. And I spoke to them afterwards and they were worried that I was just going to collapse and not be able to preach. So the team and I learnt the impact that Travacom can have on a person. We learnt that by experiencing it and seeing it firsthand. But I could have just read the packet, right? And I want to share with you this morning, both from God's word, which is like the packet, and our experiences in Tanzania, the impact that your generosity through compassion is having over in Alula. You don't need to experience it. You don't need to go there because it's in God's word. But it is nice seeing it firsthand, and it is worth sharing with each other. But on top of this, I want to show you why our generosity is so important. I want to show you that being generous is actually core to who we are as Christians. So why is generosity so important? Why is it core to who we are? I've got four reasons from our passage in 2 Corinthians. And the first is that God is a generous God. So there's a nice little neat section in 2 Corinthians, chapters 8 and chapter 9, which are all about giving and generosity. And Paul ends this long section on giving, almost shouting in verse 15, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." And we know what that is just from verse 14 above it when he says, "It's the surpassing grace God has given you." If you look back at chapter 8, verse 9, or it's on the screen if you can read it, Paul captures God's grace beautifully. What he said was indescribable, I think he describes pretty well. So I'm going to read it. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." If you've never heard that before, if you don't take anything else away from this sermon, I want you to hear that again. Let me read it. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." God has been so generous to us, more than we can understand, more than we can appreciate. Nothing compares to this generosity from God, this grace, this gift. God the Father gave up his only eternal Son for those who turned their back on God, who wouldn't give God more than a passing thought. God the Son, who had it all, He had the Spirit and his Father. He was eternally rich. He became poor in both a human sense and a spiritual sense. When he died on the cross, he was forsaken by his Father. So that through his great poverty at that moment, we might become rich. So that we might know God as Father and share in Jesus' eternal inheritance. I've given dollars to others, but I've never given up someone that I love dearly. And I'm pretty confident that I would never, and I will never, trade places with someone in the same way that Jesus did. I can't imagine swapping my whole life for someone who has nothing. But that's exactly what Jesus has done for you and me. For the rich and the poor, Jesus died for everyone because everyone is equally poor before God and desperately need the riches of his grace. What amazing grace. What incredible love. On Friday night, a young boy in year 10, as I was talking to him about Jesus, said, "Every time I hear about Jesus' death on the cross, I'm just blown away more and more." That's my prayer for all of us, that it would never become old news, that God's generosity to us would blow us away every time we hear it. And that no earthly treasure would capture our hearts like his grace does. So it's because our Father in heaven is a generous God. That's why generosity is so important. Secondly, our generosity points people to God. When we imitate God in the way that we live, when we love our enemies, when we show great patience, when we serve others, when we humble ourselves before others, it surprises people. Sometimes they ask questions, and the answers to those questions are ultimately found in God. When our hold on the things of this world is loosened, it's evidence that Jesus has made his home in us. If you look halfway through verse 11, Paul says, "Your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." And verse 12 says similar thing. "This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God." Our generosity to each other, to fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, it often results in gratitude to God. Sometimes it doesn't, but it's designed to, and it should. So when we give, it makes sense to remind ourselves and those who we're being generous towards that it's all because of God. And this is definitely something we saw in Tanzania. Children, mums, dads, churches praised God for your generosity to them. We turned up to one church, a church where we don't sponsor any children. We just visited there, saw what they were doing. They had another project similar to the ones that we support. And the pastor said to us that he was confident that our visit would make many in the community turn up to his church the next Sunday. He was convinced that our coming, just our being there, coming from the other side of the world, not to take but to give our time, our smiles, our warmth, would make people check out what's going on here. He reckoned that a small show of generosity was going to have a big impact on the community. I've heard many Christians, and this might be your story, tell of how it was the generous love seen among God's people that made them listen to the message that was being preached to them. That was definitely true for me when I was younger. I was blown away by these group of young adults who loved me, who gave up their time, their relational energy, their petrol, and so much more for me and other troublemakers like me. I want you to know that your generosity to these children in Alula is resulting in thanksgiving to God. Many of these kids love praising God and are filled with gratitude. Before I saw firsthand what compassion was doing, I was actually quite skeptical. I think I thought that the Jesus part was just tacked on. But I can confidently say it is definitely not. They are really releasing children from poverty, and it's in Jesus' name. People are being pointed to the generosity that God shows. And so many of the children know Jesus and love him deeply. They have a real deep knowledge of him. So our generosity and partnership with compassion is pointing people to God's love. It's ministry. Thirdly, our generosity breeds generosity in ourselves and in others. If you have a look at verse 6, at first glance, it seems to be saying, if you're stingy, you'll be poor. But if you're generous, you'll get rich. Maybe something like, if you give $100 to the poor, you should expect God to give you $300, or to give you the house that you want, or the job that you've applied for. But given the context of chapters 8 and 9, and the rest of the Bible, to be honest, what Paul is actually getting at is that if we're generous, look at verse 8, God will bless us abundantly. With money? No. Thankfully there's more. Look at the end of verse 8. We will abound in every good work. True wealth in God's eyes is godliness. Getting rich is about growing in Christ likeness. And so verse 9, we will freely scatter what God has gifted us to the poor. And verse 7 says we will give, right at the end, we will give cheerfully with joy. We will share our money, our time, our homes, our possessions, our skills, our relationships, all that is precious to us with one another. And when we do, when you do that, you will grow in generosity in all areas of your life, not just one. Being generous with our money is having a huge impact in Alula. But what about here? I think many people are time poor or relationally poor. I think if we're radical in our generosity with our time and our relational energy, I think that will have a big impact on the people around us here in North Epping and around. Verse 10 says that God supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food. All that we have comes from God. And that includes our generosity. Your generous heart began with God and is growing because of God. And so, the beginning of verse 11, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. This has very much been my experience at All Saints. And it may be because I am one of the ministers here. But from day one here, over 6.5 years ago, I've been amazed by your generosity to me and my family in so many ways. Your generous welcome when we first arrived, the meals and the support, particularly when our kids were first born. You guys have given financially to us beyond what you already give to the church. You've opened your homes. You've shared your lives. Something that particularly stands out to me as the youth minister is the generosity of many youth leaders in joyfully giving up so much of their time to serve the youth here. And I've been showered in encouraging words over and over again, in letters and in person. And your generosity to me has really challenged my attitude towards the things that I have. And I think I've become more generous in many areas of my life. I still love what I have, probably too much, and I probably will until the day I die. It's not something to just tick off, something to keep growing in. And I do want to talk about Meron, because I think it's particularly relevant to compassion. Meron's heart for these kids that we sponsor. I know that Meron's love for and generosity to these kids has bred a generosity in this church, in me and many here. This specific generosity we're showing to these kids through compassion, it started with God. But God convicted and used Meron, and I know that as more people have sponsored children, it's led others to do the same. Maybe a family member or close friend here inspired you. Maybe unknowingly, you've inspired others around you. It is worth saying, though, that we don't always see the fruit and the results of our generosity. But the Bible's promise is that it does breed generosity in each other. You being generous will help you become more generous. You being generous will make the person next to you more generous. It will challenge them. And we've definitely inspired generosity in our brothers and sisters in Alula. Though we might never see the full extent of that. But we turned up to churches and we were met with beautiful singing and dancing from children and adults. We were embraced with tears and literally wrapped in gifts. We stood up the front of the church and they gave us, the guys these, and all the women, they wrapped in these pieces of material. And it was beautiful. Like, that wouldn't have cost us much at all. But it cost them so much. It was a huge sacrifice to them. They gave us a chicken, material, a couple of tomatoes. Nothing for us really, but it symbolized their love for us. And it was a huge sacrifice. And they gave it with joy. But they had so much more to offer us than just worldly things. They were generous in so many ways. And again, we were challenged to be more generous by our brothers and sisters there. Generosity breeds generosity, which keeps breeding generosity, which keeps pointing people to God's great generosity in Jesus. Lastly, our generosity deepens our love for one another. It'd be easy to overlook verse 14. So have a look at verse 14. It says, "And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you." That phrase, "their hearts will go out to you," it seems so un-Paul-like. We often think of the Apostle Paul as the hard-line theologian with no emotions. But a quick read of any of his letters will bust that myth. And particularly throughout 2 Corinthians, he's used a similar phrase about hearts going out to one another. And he uses this phrase to express his deep love and affection for the people. And he uses this phrase to capture their deep love and care and support of him. Just as God's generosity to us melts our hearts, so our generosity to each other melts our hearts. I joined Beth Matsouris on one of her home visits in Tanzania. And I was just sitting there taking photos, just soaking up what was going on. And there was clearly this deep love between the family and Beth as they exchanged gifts and words and prayers. And as I was looking around this small room that didn't have a lot in it, I noticed a picture of Jesus I think it could have been a calendar or something. And then I noticed these other pictures on the wall, and I had a closer look, and I noticed that it was the sponsor child, his drawings. He drew a couple of motorbikes. And then I noticed on them, you can't see it, can you? Sorry. You can? You can see Ava Matsuris's name on these pictures. There's just a deep love from these children towards their sponsors. We've seen your letters hanging in their houses. When we come, a lot of the children, even though they've been told, they still think and hope that their sponsor might turn up. These kids love you guys. There is a deep affection for you, a deep sense that they belong to your family and that you belong to theirs. And they're right. That's what the Bible teaches us. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. These children love you guys for the difference you're making in their lives and their families' lives. As verse 13 says, where are we? The generosity that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ is resulting in thanksgiving. And I see it here too at All Saints. When you guys are generous towards one another, it deepens relationships. When you invite people into your homes, when you share with them, God's amazing grace, his overwhelming generosity to us is what has made us new. It's our salvation. It's core to who we are. It transforms how we live our lives. It transforms our relationships. And so I want to thank you for your support of this trip. I know that many of you wanted to go. And I know that you wanted to see your children and be part of it. So I'm thankful that you've supported the trip with prayer, financially. And I just want to keep encouraging you to write letters to the children you sponsor, to keep praying for them and growing in your love and generosity towards one another. I'm going to pray to finish. Father, I thank you for your great generosity to us, that though we were poor, Jesus, who was rich, became poor so that we might become rich. I pray that we would never stop being amazed by that, that it would continue to blow us away, and that your generosity towards us, God, would shape our lives, would shape the way that we treat each other. It would shape the way we hold on to the things of this world. Please, God, in all of this, and we're never going to be perfect, I just pray that our generosity and our growth in that would lead more people to know your love for them. And I pray this in your Son's name. Amen.